Are you ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Tuesday, 11th day of October, 2011. Hope you had a happy Columbus Day. The Dow is up 9, the S&P is up 3, the comp is up 16, and it's been a relatively quiet trading session. Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dwayne.
I'm going to guess you heard everything I just said?
Everything you just said came right through, yes.
Okay, very good. We're monitoring our packet loss, and so far so good. Had some work done over the weekend, and no guarantees, but we're working on it. And that other situation has been resolved on the members area of the website. That was a server issue on their end, and so the forum is now back up.
Great.
And
great.
I will.
Good to hear.
I'll pop the zones in there for those who may not have received their email over the weekend.
Excellent. All right, well, do you want me to get right into it?
You can have.
All right. Well, everyone can see I have my charts up here. I'm just going to get the recording stuff ready to go here, and we'll go through the morning session. Nothing to get too excited about this morning. It was a very slow morning. We had... Oops. That's not right. Hang on a minute. Clear area. Let me try it again. My mouse is in the wrong place sometimes. I bump into the other keyboard. All kinds of things going on. All right. There we go. I'll just get the recording started and we'll move. Okay. Here we go. I'm going to go in 3, 2, 1. All right. Good afternoon, everyone, or good morning, wherever you happen to be located. Today is Tuesday, October October 11th, 2011. Tuesday, October 11th, 2011. We're going to go over, this is Michael from CFRN, we're going to go over the morning's trades, recap the morning's activity, and we'll go over the option activity that we had as well. All right. Let's just, I want to take a look to see if people are still popping in here right now, but for right now, we'll start out with the morning's activity, okay? We didn't have any trades on the ES, all right? As a matter of fact, there just haven't been any trades that set up. If we go by what one of the partners had suggested for a set of rules, he had suggested this set of rules last week. There would have been about three or four trades with his setup. That may be posted out on the website, may not be. At some point relatively soon here. But there would have been a couple of setups with his information. One would have been right over here. Another one would have been just a second ago. You would have been shorting here. You would have been long over here. Only the first one, though. But we won't get into that. I'll just go back and I'm just going to quickly jump around over here, though, because we didn't take any ES trades. All right? There was no opportunity in here to take any trades. We didn't have any bubble all the way up to here. Then by the time we got the bubble... By the time we got the bubble, we were trading right into a weekly trading zone, which is right up above us right here. Then we got another bubble, and we were on top of it all, but we couldn't trade because we had a double top right there. All right. Once we got above that and we pulled back, we had a bubble right here. We couldn't trade here because we had a lower high right there. Okay, we had a lower high right there. We pulled back down inside the box. Then it was going short right into the same zone that we were talking about. Over here, had we had a bubble right here, this would have been a long opportunity, but we did not have it. Okay, that was it on the ES. Now on the 10,000 tick, we had the same problem. Not the 10,000 tick, but the 10,000 contract. We had the same problem basically, in that we've been in and around the zone all morning. Okay. So we couldn't take any trades over there either. You know, the best one that we probably could have taken. We had a couple of opportunities, but they're either going right into the weekly trading zone or they're going to support and or resistance, like this here and like this over here. They still worked out, but that's what they were doing. We did take one YM trade this morning. It was a loss for minus 7 ticks on the YM. All right. Now I'll show you the YM. There were a couple of trades on the YM that set up that we missed. During the morning session, there was actually one that we missed and one that set up that we missed during the break. Okay, the break set up right here for a good 20 ticks, and this one set up over here that we missed for a good 20 ticks. The one that we did take, however, was back here just a little further. There it is. Oops. All right, you see we had a bearish cross right here. Oops. There we go. We had a bearish cross right here, and price pulled back up and went right through the BBC. So that was our one single trade on the YM this morning. All right. Unfortunately, that's all we had. The market's been really, really slow, really slow. The Dow right now is just about break even. It's, you know, it's up 7 points. Comp's up a little bit more. It's just been a really, really slow morning. All right. Now, I'm going to go into the options a little bit here. And this, the partners, Sunday night, I believe at about 3 a.m., I had sent out a note to all the partners. We just lost our connection there. Hopefully it's going to come back here quickly. Good. Sunday night at about 3 a.m., we had sent out a note to all of our partners that Friday afternoon's activity, where we were thinking we might get an opportunity to buy some puts, never confirmed, but we did have a confirmation of the calls. All right, so we wanted to buy calls, and what we had suggested was right here, the 11:75 calls. Yesterday morning, it was Sunday night at about 3 a.m., I think I sent out the alert for that, and the calls were priced then at about 24 by 25. Alright, you can see right now they're, you know, 34 by 34.75 right now. They've been higher than that. They've been a little bit higher than that. And I expect they'll get a little bit higher than that. I followed it up with some targets, suggesting that if we got up to 1185, that we may hang around 1185 for a little while. If we get rejected strongly from 1185, then you want to get out of the calls. We did get up to 1185, and I said if we get through 1185, we should get up to 1215. That would be the next area. We haven't gotten up that high yet. We did get through 1185, but we really did have some trouble there. You can see, obviously, right now we're at 1192 half. But the next level up above should be up at 1215, up in that area. And above that, I believe, is all the way up at 1225. So, you know, these calls that we suggested, they had about a 40% gain in a day. And if you hold on to them a little longer, you know, I think if the market continues to go up to where I think it's going to go up to, then, you know, you could see better than that 50, 60, 70% gain on it, possibly. Obviously, past performance is no indication of future performance, but that is where I see it going if the market continues to go up. All right, if it starts to drop down and it gets down below 1185, you'll still have some value in your calls. You know, this morning it was down below 1185 for a little while, and they were still up 20% when it was down there. So there's, you know, that's where that stands. I'm going to, moving forward here, as the option product that we have right now proves itself out to everyone and everyone starts to see more and more gains with this thing. I'm not going to tell you guys live in here. You know, only the partners are going to get the information, only the active partners will get the information in a timely manner. You know, the rest of you guys will get the information after the fact. You know, the active partners, you know, everybody knows when I send out these emails, and everybody gets them when I send them out, hopefully. If you're an active partner and you did not get the email, let me know. All right. But we can, you know, we can keep building on this product, I think. This is just the ES right now. This is just the ES, but we can build on this. And there are other ways to trade this. These are futures options, but you could trade it with ETFs. You could trade it with index options. Now there's a bunch of different ways to handle this. So in the absence of activity here on the futures today, we did have some activity here in the options, right? Now that said, I think I'm going to wrap up here because there's just not that much to talk about. Does anybody have any questions about the options? I don't have my question. No, I don't see any questions at all up there. If you're a partner and you're in here, but you're not an active partner, meaning you don't get into the morning sessions and you don't get the weekly trading zones and stuff like that, and you want these option calls in a timely manner, then you need to become an active partner. Okay? Thanks, Bert. All right. You guys want me to go over the last four or five option calls? The first one made better than 70%. The second one made better than 175. The third one made better than 70. The fourth one made better than 70, and this is the fifth one, I think, right here. And this one is up over 40 so far. I think that's the case. This may be the fourth one. Either way, they all did pretty well so far. All right. That said, I'm going to wrap it up. If anybody has any questions or wants any more information about the option product and or the futures stuff that we do, send an email to tech, that's T-E-C-H, at CFRN.net. Okay, you can email me there at any time, and I will get back to you as quickly as I can. Or you can call 1-866-928-3310, and they will be able to give you some information. Or if you just want to take our free trial and you haven't taken the free trial, go to www.cfrn.net/apply, APPLY. All right. That's it for now. I'm going to wrap up this morning session recap. All right. the morning session recording is done. Really, does anybody have any questions about all that?
Well, yeah, I get a few questions for you. No, I don't see a single thing in the question box.
I don't either.
Well, maybe we're not live. Is this thing on? Anybody out there? I see people in the audience.
Here, rub it on my cheek.
Yeah, that's definitely on. At least I can hear it anyway.
Yeah. Well, I can hear you. So.
And maybe we need
for
to
what it's
the
worth,
show.
We don't have a bubble here. For anybody that's watching the four-tick range, there's no bubble. Okay.
Oh, sorry, Cliff. I didn't mean to wake you. All right. At least we know it's on.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all good. The option things, guys, working out well. We actually put in a I created a filter to filter out the just the quick moves that may just put a wick to trigger the move one way or the other and wait for more of a confirmation. That's why Friday we did have a wick that triggered that would have normally triggered a look to the puts. But we never had confirmation of that Friday, even into Sunday. We never had confirmation of that. And then the market took off Sunday night. And it gave us a confirmation on the long side. So we were looking for calls at that point. And you know, the market at the time, I believe it was at 1170, 1178, 1179, I think. So, you know, We've seen it move up about 20 points from there, just under 20 points from there. And it was a nice indication, you know, to actually see it on the charts. Here. This is where the indication was over here, Sunday night, way over here. And it moved, you know, up to the highs. Today was actually the highest point at 94 from there.
And everyone, you know what it looks like.
What's that? I'm sorry, Bert. What did you say?
You have like a copy of the email that you send out to everyone. It looks like, you know.
I do.
Be subscribers and.
Yeah, let me grab that and I'll show you. I'll show you what that looks like.
Because for the most part, what they do is they really take the decision making out of your. I'll just tell you what to buy, really, for the most part. So a lot of the members, active and non-active members, have sent the video out yesterday. And it'll show you how to find the options on your DT Pro platform, but how to place an order. So all you have to do is when Mike sends something out, he'll tell you buy the October S&P 1175 calls, and he'll give you the current bid offer. And all you have to do is really pull up a dome or just place an order and just execute. If you have problems with it, just call us at the trading desk and, we'll walk you through or even place the order for you if you're uncomfortable with it. So, yeah. So don't, you know, it's an easy process, but I know new platforms or in options, if they're something new to you, you don't get the comfy, cozy feelings, you know. So we'll do it for you.
Here's the email without showing too much information. Here's the email that I said. I said, partner, is it possible put trades were never confirmed, but the filter I've created... by the filter I created, will be off on Monday, but if I do happen to see everyone, I'll send, oh, sorry, that was the wrong email. I'll send the appropriate alert out. Now let me find the right one. Sorry. Hang on a minute. Put trades, hang on. There it is. There it is. I got it. Here we go. Now I'll bring this one over. The put trades never confirmed, but the call options did confirm. I'm looking at ES October 1175 calls are currently priced at 23 by 24 half. And I attached a screenshot of it. So we can view that screenshot right here. You see the 1175s were 23 by 24, and this was 1010 at 2:45 a.m. And here we are on 10/11, almost 24 hours later. Is that right? It's only been 24 hours. It feels like it's been more than that. Anyway, here we are on 10/11. Oh, it's more than 24. Almost, whatever. Almost 36 hours later. The same ones are at 33 by 3375. So right here we went from 23 by 24 half to 33 by 3375. For those of you who don't know, it's this number multiplied by 50. Okay? So the gain on this would have been roughly $500 per futures contract. All right? One trade, $500.
You don't recommend doing that now, right, Mike?
No, I wouldn't do it right now. No. Nope. Right, the opportunity is gone.
Yeah, so if you're seeing this for the first time, do not take action.
Right.
Note to self.
Yeah, note to everyone.
Yeah.
Don't take action right now. You missed the boat. But you don't have to miss the next one. No, let me find the next email that I had sent out quickly here. Analysis. No, close partners. Possible put trades. That one. Here we go. This was a little bit later in the day. No, I think it was still pre-market, I think. I don't know when it was. Whatever. Whoa. Sorry, guys. I mean, I have all your email addresses out there like that. This is what I had here. The call options were up about 10%. 1184 overhead is an important area. If it gets rejected strongly there, look for a big decline. If, however, it gets through, the next level above is 1215, then 1225. Okay? That was the follow-up email that I put in there. Okay? The expiration on that option is the 21st. Okay? It's October 21st. Okay? That's what the new option product is about. It's making it as simple as possible. Okay? Does anybody have any questions about that? You see right here, this is the October 1175 option. This is the expiration on it. OES October 21st, 2011. All right. That is it. That's what we have. Okay.
So that's it, huh?
Yep, that's it.
Bertie's awful quiet out there today. What's going on your side of the street?
Grains are on fire. We have beans up 50 cents. Corn's up 35. We have a crop report tomorrow, so they're getting ready for that. I think not only, going into the report, they're a little bullish. I just think the fact that the S&P is, rallied about 1,000 points off the low and the dollar's come off its highs, it's really inspired some of these commodity markets that have gotten beat up here lately, created some value, so. But we're playing grains today a little bit. That's about it, really. On our end, I've been doing some platform stuff with some people. So other than that, I am. I'd like to get another confirmation of the market to roll over and try to sell into it. But that's about it, really. Pretty quiet on the western front here.
Yeah, it's been really quiet. All right.
All right, if that's all you guys got, the 8788 area, that was key yesterday. And when I take charts here in a minute, I'll point that out. But as the market climbed yesterday morning off the open, we got right to our weekly zone there and sold off from 87 all the way down to, looks like, about 77. And then on the second attempt, we did get above it And then on the overnight, we sold off. It became resistance on, looking at a 10,000 contract chart, three separate occasions, until it finally broke above this morning. And then that pullback held the zone. And we've now traded from the zone back up to 94, with the high of the day being 94.75. So, yeah, just kind of a lackluster day. Not the weekly trading zone being a center of gravity for almost the last 24 hours. So we'll get a break one way or the other. I did put in the blog last night. I'm not going to reveal the number at this point, but we got one zone overhead, and at the rate we're going, it might take all week to get up there. So with that said, then we'll just go right on out to Las Vegas and talk to Mr. David Williams from PageTrader.com. We'll pause for a short station identification, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, David. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. And good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning, David. I am well, thanks.
Good. And good morning to all the listeners. And I hope everyone had a great weekend. We had some time off to relax and enjoy. Just that one extra day makes a huge difference. You know, not having to amp yourself up for markets. And I'm not just talking about myself, just anybody who's involved in markets. It's probably a little bit of a relief to not have to worry too much about the markets, although I will say that yesterday, the holiday, Columbus Day, was a pretty good movement in the day. It was very quiet, and although the market did what it should do under certain conditions, you know, that revolve around our particular approach, very much like a holiday, it took extra time. It was almost like watching a Globex session for me yesterday. I didn't watch the whole day, but I watched a portion of it. And it was kind of like watching the overnight session, where it took a few extra hours for them to do certain things. Like, as an example, yesterday when they had topped out in the second hour initially, we were looking for an approximate 8 to 9 point decline off of that high. And in the second hour, they had made a high of 1185.50. So let's just say it's 1185. They took an extra 2 hours, which is unusual, to really retest that level. And then they made their 8 or 9 point decline off of that bottom and off that top, excuse me. And then they advanced to new recent highs and tested 92, which was an important target for us. On the upside. So it acted kind of like a Globex session, and to be honest with you, today is acting somewhat like a Globex session as well. This kind of very quiet movement, and really, you know, maybe it's just I don't like to try to claim I know what people are doing and why they're doing it, but maybe people just didn't want to come to work today either when it comes to the markets, because there's been very, very light movement and very quiet. Again, Globex type of movement, overnight session type of movement today. So we'll see. We'll let them continue. We've had a successful trade today in the in Messenger Pro on the long side, and we are approaching some important levels on the upside, and we continue to test the 92 level.
even though we've been above it. We're waiting to see if they can close above that level on the hourly. And almost certainly, when they do, they will have reached the next important level, which is 96. And then above that, more importantly, would be 1203. The 1203 level for us is important because it is a natural level. It doesn't guarantee that it's going to be reached because we are starting to run short on time. Today in the calendar is today the 11th is the next important daily market top for the reflected wave. And for those of you with reflected wave, they'll know and understand why that is. But this top, we're in the on-time day right now. This is the period that I get more comfortable trading this particular type of setup, a daily top on the on-time day, and tomorrow then would be one day late. So we're very close to an important top, but there's enough time, and with the market continuing to be bullish, even though it's quiet, remember a quiet market isn't a bearish market. It can be quiet and be very bullish. Bullish doesn't mean just going up. Bullish can be very quiet, but it can be inside the existing trend. So bullish doesn't have to be moving up to be bullish, at least in our perspective. It can be very quiet and inside a trend and holding those levels very well and moving back and forth and then later, you know, preparing for another surge on the upside. So there's an old saying in the markets, and that is never sell short a creeping market. Maybe you haven't heard of that one. But you know what I'm talking about, Duane, where the market is moving up very quietly and it's sort of just creeping along and then it pulls back a little bit. It's just creeping, creeping, creeping. There's a saying, don't sell a creeping market. The reason why is because that creeping action often will be followed by a straight line follow-through move. I know this sounds like kind of a pattern recognition, and it is. But be careful when markets are creeping higher because they tend to finish that creeping movement. You know, you're not going to read this all by itself. You want to put it into whatever the context is. But if they're creeping, be careful with it on the short side. Because they can have a very explosive kind of a finishing move where the cycle on the upside ends. And we're very close to that now, to the cycle ending on the upside. So every hour that goes by, as a matter of fact, we're getting percentages are moving in our favor for the short side. So I don't want to play havoc with anybody who's on the long side with options. I heard Michael talking about options earlier. And I don't want to scare people, but you better get the hell out of them. No, I'm just joking.
Well, no, that options getting... trade is that thing's about done.
I think it may be about done as well. but I just, you know, I don't want to scare people out of it. I'm just saying we're moving into a period now where we're on the on-time day in our work. And if you're following, by the way, in all fairness, if you're following Michael and Duane's trade, just follow it until they tell you what to do with it. You know, if they're telling you to get out or if they're telling you to stay, whatever. Don't let what I'm saying, the people who are following us, you know, follow what we're saying, and don't let the two crisscross you too much, because too much information, too many contradictory signals, and it's almost like you trading on your own at that point. Who needs us? just playing with you. no, both Duane and Michael and I, we want to give very definitive information as best as we can. Sometimes you can, and sometimes the markets are in positions where you are best not to try to give definitive information because the market takes a period of time and just, you know, may be sort of in a no man's land for a little period of time, and it's sometimes best just to not have an indication. But we give the indications as best we can, you know, so that you have a definitive idea of what, at least what we're thinking, what Michael Duane is thinking, and all that. You know, some of the options trades are probably working because they're delivered from a place that's very close to the world's largest homeless park. What is that, Duane, that you live next to? You're overlooking something there. What is it? Something. I don't remember.
I'm overlooking your imagination.
My imagination. Okay, there we go.
There's a question for you, two questions, actually. Didn't David say on Friday that
he
expected the market to go down to 1085 and that we had made a top on October the 7th?
7th. That is correct. If you take a daily chart, now we have two indications here that were at work, one of which is that the 7th is a roadmap indication. And as we're talking, let me go bring that up for myself to double check that. And we have not yet reached the point where we would be calling for a reflected wave top. We are there now, but let me get up the indication for the 7th. And give me just a moment here. So yeah, and the 7th really, you know, it's not really explainable in my normal ways of explaining things, but in a sense, the 7th bottomed. This is roadmap stuff now. This is not reflected wave. Inside this ongoing uptrend, it's kind of, for people who are into candlesticks, it kind of is a midpoint of the run. I'm not forecasting that that's going to be the midpoint, but that's kind of what they did. And in roadmap stuff, they sort of just moved right through that level. You can either view it as a midpoint or kind of like that doji, for those of you who are into candlesticks, midpoint. But they moved right through it, and in doing so, they set up a reflected wave top for today. So on that day, it did look, when they closed the day, it looked as though they may have topped out on that day. But the market did continue higher. We didn't issue a roadmap based off that, but we are getting close now to an important one. So there wasn't quite enough information with with Friday and then Monday being a holiday for us to really put something together with that setup. And the market has moved through it, which generally means that the bottom that was made inside that day is a very important low. If they can move through it like they did here, this is with regard to roadmaps again, reflected wave is completely different, then that bottom is very important and in our work. And the market has achieved by getting to 92, because we had on Monday for our, we were closed, but for some of the institutional people, we had conversations with them, and we had forecast that the market would need to, in order to complete at least the minimum, if we consider the 7th, the fellow that asked the question. Who asked the question about the 7th, Dwayne?
So well, Larry asked a question, and then there was another question about, wasn't yesterday supposed to be the one day late?
Yes, and that's what I'm answering, actually, both those questions in one here for the 7th. So essentially the 7th, the bottom they made on the 7th, when Monday occurred and the market started to move higher, we considered the 7th a, I don't want to really call it an inversion, but they moved through that level, and that meant that 92 would be the next target on the upside, the more important target for them to attempt. And in doing that, they would then set up a reflected wave top. So it's a little confusing, but that is correct. The 7th would have been normally the day. We interpreted it on Monday as a likely, not an absolute, but a probable bottom in this uptrend. And so, therefore, we were able to say, you know, the pullback that occurs midday, that should then later advance to 92. And they did indeed advance to 91.50 or 91.75. This, again, was all given to the institutional people, but we normally don't even work on the day off. But I was interested to see, because the 7th was important. And in roadmaps, this is one of the things that can happen, is the market, in most cases, when we give them out, this doesn't happen because we've set up many other, you know, we have a bunch of other indications helping. But in this particular case, they were able to move through it. That indicated 92. So a daily close today, there's two levels of importance, three for today, actually. There's the 92, which was actually a target based upon the 7th, the way they acted on the 7th. And we've done that. Then there's 96, which I mentioned earlier. And then finally, there's 1203. These are numbers that are important to us. I know that Michael and Dwayne may have some other levels that are beyond that are important. But immediately, these are levels that are important to us. So if we were to close today below 96, that would be an early indication for the reflected wave top that is due on time today. Then worst case or best case, if we close below 92, that's a further indication for the on-time top that we're talking about. The way that they did all this, including what they did on the 7th, means that the 14th now, which is Monday, if I'm, oh, the 14th is Friday, is now going to be a very important date for the S&P 500. It'll probably be important for the Dow and perhaps Russell and some of the other indices as well, but that date is going to be, if you'd like to make some money, that date, we're going to try to trade both into and out of that date. We've talked about this before, how these dates can be, they're not just important from the day forward, they're also important trading into them. Now, having said that, I'm going to mention something here that is important, but it isn't an outright forecast because of the nature of the way these things have set up here. If we're unable to do anything else on the upside here, if 92 and even, you know, although it gets getting close, if they get up and test 96 without going much higher between today and tomorrow and they fail here, there is an important potential for a test of 1135. And I did mention last week also that there is a possibility from the 10th forward that 1085 is important. Now, I know these are really far away numbers, and the market really is has been very strong in getting to these levels and may continue higher into the one day late. But as a trader, you want to know, you want to look ahead. That's what we're trying to do. Even if you're not directly forecasting, you want to have some ideas of the possibilities of what the market might do under a given set of conditions. Those conditions in this case would be failing at 92 or failing at 96. In doing so, then we could have a very powerful decline, even though it doesn't look like it's going to happen now. I think you'll all agree, you've seen enough of these to know that it may not look at all like it's about to do it, and then it turns and goes and does it. And the market's very good at that, isn't it? It's very good at making it look like it's not going to do what it absolutely is about to do. Like a person running in one direction and looking like he really means to go somewhere and then suddenly reversing and running just as hard in the other direction. That's how markets do it. And that's why people get fooled by markets, because by looking at the low that was made on October 4th, which was a bottom that we had forecast, if you look at that low and see the run up, it looks like it's very powerful and it means business. And they're certainly not going to unwind, you know, a whole bunch of that right now.
How does that thing go? Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, call me a traitor.
There you are. That's very good, Dwayne.
Yeah, I like that.
It's a nice little addition to that. You also sound very good today. Did you, you got your internet fixed? And,
you know, I did get it fixed, and the fellow that came to do the work, really nice guy, gave me his cell number. He said, I'm off mm-hmm. work for the next couple days, but I'm going to monitor your signal on my laptop, and if you need me for mm-hmm. anything, you call me. And so I called last night, and he actually returned my call, even though he wasn't working. And he gave me some additional tests to run, and he said, you know, it looks good. Let's see what happens tomorrow when the Internet's busy. And I've been running ping tests all morning, and so far I've had zero packets drop. So that's
okay.
Pretty good.
Good. Well, it sounds really good. I'm sure the listeners can hear the same thing as well. So I'll let you know if we can't hear you, we hear any of the strange sounds. But
okay, good.
No, it sounds really good. Actually, this maybe sounds the best I think I may have ever heard you.
Wow.
I don't know. Is there a new microphone, or are you just...
No, same mic. Just a brand new modem. Cable modem.
Yeah.
And they actually went down and tweaked one of my DVRs. There was a frequency that was like out of whack on the DVR downstairs, and I go, well, how would that affect my internet? And he goes, well, we're just trying to rule out anything that could cause any problems whatsoever. And even one of the cables that I have a small television / monitor that I use in my office to scroll headlines from CNBC and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And he goes, where'd you get this cable? I go,
yeah, what is this?
I'm talking about, what do they call the cable for, it's like cable TV, it's got a name. coax.
Coax.
He goes, "Where'd you get this piece of coax?" I go, "Big Lots." He goes, "Yeah, not good." He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "May I replace that with some real coax?" I go, "Sure you can." Yeah. I go, "But that's my
guys,
that's my TV. That does that isn't going to, you know, that's not the internet." Or he goes, "Yeah, I know, but I'd just feel better if you let me replace it."
He's pretty thorough. That's pretty good. He starts to replace, like, vacuum cleaner hoses and stuff. Just want to make sure, you know, listen, I don't know if this is connected at all, but this little rubber hosing here is not, I mean, this isn't up to spec, and you're going to lose a lot of suction right from here. So let's clean that up, too.
No, Ben was really, you know, sometimes you get service guys from different companies, and, you know, they do their job, which is what they're paid to do. And then every now and then you get that one guy who will go the extra mile for, not because you tipped him, because you don't even know if that's acceptable in today's society. But, Ben, if you're out there, brother, thank you very much.
Well, there you are. Okay, so where we want to watch the 14th, and again, between what happened on Friday the 7th and now, you can see that the big up move, this may be helpful to some people that are talking or wondering about the 7th. Had they confirmed on the 7th, it would have been a somewhat unusual turn there. Not super unusual, but because there weren't a lot of important prices that had yet been reached on the upside. I know the market had already had a pretty good move, and therefore it looked pretty good. But you can see that new energy, even though it looks like the same trend, a new energy came into the market from the concounting, so to speak, from the bottom on the 7th. That was new energy. I treat the 7th between you and I treat it somewhat like an inversion, but not really visually. You can't really see it as such in the way that I normally would identify an inversion. But that's essentially what happened on that day. And Monday's large day up, or yesterday's large day up, is that new energy coming into the market. So that's enough of a new piece now to set us up in a completely different technique, which is now reflected wave. And anybody who has reflected wave knows about this top. This is, again, something that's objective for people to the roadmaps are a little more complex. And before we give out a full roadmap, we had mentioned the 7th, but we have not given out a roadmap. Before we give out a full roadmap, there's usually a number of confirming things that we like to see as well. On those types of setups. So the next one that's really important to me is the 14th, which is Friday. So, you know, we have a few days left here, and it's Friday plus or minus a day. Big ol' move. That's like big ol' tires. This is big ol' move. And
I love that big ol' commercial. I don't know if you guys have it out there, but there's this little old lady, and she goes to the tire store, and she throws her tire through the front window.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Anyway, it's been around forever.
Anyway, so that's what I'm waiting for. There's going to be some nice trades between now and then. It'll be interesting to see how this market finishes this up move off, because if the new energy from the 7th is on the upside, and it clearly is, there's no question about it, we do have further advance that's quite possible, even though we're in the on-time day. The timing will be correct for reflected wave, but the fact is that there's still enough time left for higher prices. So I'm going to keep in mind the levels we talked about earlier, 96 and then 1203, and 92 being the best case as the earliest confirmation for this top. And then we would potentially be trading it short all the way down, as we talked about earlier, for a test or attempt at 1135. So keep that in mind, and we'll update that between now and then. It's a little bit early now for a new position based on that, because the market usually tends to want to act like it's not going to do that right up to the last minute, and then with a day or so left, it would go and run and do something like that. So let's try to watch it and patiently let it set itself up, because as it stands right now, we haven't broken the uptrend at all. We're in a very powerful uptrend off that bottom. And as you know, Reflected Wave had called for September to mark the bottom on the monthly chart, and it came at slightly lower prices in October. And this is the month of October now. So this advance may indeed be the beginning of the larger multi-month advance that we've been forecasting off of the September bottom, which again occurred slightly lower prices in October. As a matter of fact, let me take a quick look at the monthly. Let's take a look at this. So yeah, the September bottom originally looked like it came early at 1077. It actually came at 1068, the price 1068 in October. And again, for people who understand reflected wave, they know exactly why, you know, why this is a bottom, and they understand it. They don't need me to tell them that it's a bottom. They have their own, they see it on their own chart, and they could have predicted it just as we did as well. As you get more skilled with reflected wave, you can put some very simple ideas together and make market calls like the one we did back in October of 2010, that the first or second quarter would mark a top for this year, and the market would then decline into the remainder of the year or not make any new highs. And there's a very easy reason why that would have been an easy call for anybody who understood reflected wave, because you can take simple ideas, simple principles in reflected wave, and be able to extrapolate what the market would do without having any price formulation or anything else in to worry about or to forecast, just what the market would do, that it's going to turn off that top and it's not going to make any new highs for the rest of the year. And that's what the forecast was for this year. It's very easy. And for those of you who don't know how we made that call, I would be only too happy. I could explain it on the radio, but it's really, it's in all fairness to the people who went to the seminar. You can call in and I'll be very happy to explain the really simple principle that allowed us to make the whole call for a top and then no new highs for the rest of the year, all the way back in October of last year. And you'll be able to do that for the next, you know, whichever turn you want to apply that idea to the next turn that you want to. It's very simple, and it's funny that the simple things are the ones that you sometimes can spend years looking for, because we're looking for complexity, we're looking for something that we don't yet understand, when so often the very simplest idea can be put to use, and in using it, it can look very much like it comes from a complex heritage. And in fact, it's a very simple idea that lets you make a call like that and be very certain of it. So for those of you who have reflected wave, please call me at any point. You know, don't call me right now. I'm on the radio right now. I don't know if you've noticed I'm on the radio. So call after I'm off the radio, and then I'll be very happy to go over that with you. So
Phil
this
has a question, and I know the answer,
okay,
but I'll let you explain it to him.
Okay.
David, is your initial downward move to 1135 because of the natural 50% retracement level?
I don't know. Is that a 50% retracement, and are you talking about from the low? Let's take a look.
Well, on my screen.
Well,
if
from
I
the low,
to
it would be about 1131 would be 50%. Do you want to talk about retracement levels a little bit? Because he's asking me a question that opens that whole door. I'll make it very short and sweet.
Yeah, we can. I mean, I just drew a fib from this low here.
Okay.
To this high, if that's the one he's referring to.
I think he's talking about from October 4th bottom, and let him correct us if we're wrong. All the way up to the high that we've made now.
Yeah, that's what I've got there, is the October 4th bottom.
Yeah, we're allowed to go a little higher here. This particular call for the decline to 35 is
1087 is what I've got as the 50% retracement.
Do you really 1087?
I'm sorry, no.
1087?
No.
Yeah, how could that be? What school did you go to for this 50% retracement?
What is that price right there? That price
is about 1131 or
so. About 1138. No, it's more like 1138, isn't it?
Well, Dwayne, I know this goes back to our different charting formats, I guess, but
well, it's just low to high, cut it in half. I mean, what was the low?
Yeah, that's about 1131.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's why I'm wondering how you got 1138 out of that.
So the low is 1068.
Yeah.
Very easy to cipher that out.
And then the high that we just made. And so that's, somebody correct both of us if we're wrong. It's about 1031.50 or so, would be halfway.
The high is 1194.75. Right?
Yep,
so you take 1194.75.
What do you come up with, Wayne?
1068 equals 126.75. then you carry the 1. And what did I say that number was there? I said 1194.75. 1194.75 minus.
If anyone's like me, they're wondering what this guy is doing right now. What are you at the? Are you getting the 50% level? Is that what you're working on?
Yeah.
What are you getting?
Yeah. That's what I'm getting. I'm doing sophisticated mathematics here, David.
All right. Just checking. It sounds really sophisticated.
See, that's going to be 63. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
So, what is the number? Let's just hear it.
I'm not ready to give it to you yet.
Oh, okay.
1194.75. Mm-hmm. That's right. Go to mm-hmm. minus 63.
Multiply by your birth weight.
Around about that 1131 number you're talking about.
There you go, Dwayne. Now we're talking. Now we are making some serious progress. That is correct. Okay, so to answer his question, it is 1131. It would be the number based
see, now
upon
that I can
the current
see the
high.
Tail on that candle right there. See,
yeah,
I couldn't see it
problem.
Before.
Yeah.
That was my daily separator in the jargon. So I can come down here now and go.
Listen, you've moved band equipment for a long time, and that can it can be overcome, but it can damage.
It's really the loud noise.
It's the loud noise that did it. Okay.
Yeah. See, there it
I
is right
band
there.
Equipment
the yellow
for a while
line
as well,
is 50%.
So.
Okay. Yeah. I was just humoring you
okay,
guys.
So
there it is.
No, in our particular case, there's no. It's this is one of those examples where something that you're comfortable with and understand this or are comfortable using in your trading, the 50% retracement may have some value in helping you trade to that level. The roadmap is based on an entirely different principle that has, the roadmap has no percentages. So just so you know this, there's no percentage retracement at all in a roadmap. It means nothing to the roadmap. Whatever the move is, whatever the roadmap's calling for, that's the move. It doesn't mean anything that it happens to be a certain percentage, but I do like the idea, and I always have, and we've talked about it on this program, of tying multiple techniques together. Now, in just putting that thing on there and saying it's 50%, there's no forecasting going on there that says, right? I mean, whoever it is that asked this,
Phil.
You're not able to say, Bill, that you know you can forecast that it's going to go down there. But that if it did go down there, it's important because it's a target slash price level of importance because FIB also is indicating that. I'm not at all against FIB, and I never want people to think that I am because I really love Fibonacci. I love the theme of it. I love the fact that it really actually and factually is in nature. This is one of the great things about this is that it's a very beautiful discovery that nature does what it does with the Fibonacci sequence. And for those of you who use it, you may not be fully aware of how it works, but like so many things, it's strangely simple, and yet it plays out this way. The sequence is really a sum of the last two integers, a sum of last two numbers. Like as an example, 1 and 1 is 2. And so the sequence would go 1, 1, 2, and then you add to the 2 the number previous to it, right? And that
three,
would be 2 and 1 is 3.
Five.
And then you add from that level, that number 3, to the number previous to it, and that is 5. And you keep doing that, 5 now
eight,
plus 3,
13,
the previous level
21,
is now 8, and on and on and on.
34, 55,
and
89.
Strangely enough, it's not just a sequence that somebody came up with. It actually occurs in the natural world in a number of different ways. And all the way down to a ball bouncing that now there's some certain rules you'd have to put in play here because the ball would have to, you know, a very soft ball will bounce differently than a very filled up ball. But you can see it in any number of areas where the world tends to unfold in a measured way. Things, plants growing, you know, spiraling, you know, nebula out in the, you know, spinning gas nebulas, everything from very small to very large. And so people have taken that and applied it to markets and market movement. The market is really an expression of forces, and so is everything else. You know, when a forest is taken down by the bark beetle, one section of a forest is taken down by the bark beetle, that's a beetle that barks. It actually eats trees. And another part of the forest is taken down later by fire. Those are different manifestations of a force. You can say that the force is fire in this case, and you can say over here it's the bark beetle, and that's true. That's how it manifests itself. But it is a force, primarily, and before it even expresses itself as a bark beetle or a fire, it's a force. And so that force is applying itself and correcting some other force. So you could fairly say that the universe is an expression of forces, that one force applies itself, expresses itself in whatever way, and then another force comes along and corrects that force, opposes that force. And in the end, these forces end up canceling each other out, so that in the end it's as if nothing happened at all. Nobody's owed, there's no accounts on the book where anybody's owed anything. But that's across time, because if you didn't have any time, then everything would happen all at once. So we have to have time in there so that these forces can express themselves and then later be countered by another force. Well, if you think of it in those terms, without worrying about the expression, like whether it's the bark beetle chewing the trees or whether it's a fire burning them down, it's a force that's correcting a previous force. The forest is growing, and it gets to a certain point, and then other forces start to go at work at it, correcting that growth. The same exact thing is true of the markets. It happens to be forces at work, primarily, and then if you look at the manifestation, you say, well, it's a bunch of people buying and selling. But that buying and selling is just a manifestation of those forces, universal, really, forces at work. The market is going up for a period of time, and then some new force comes in and corrects that. And in correcting it, takes back, opposes the current force. Now, the market from 1932, the low that we made after the crash of 1929, the market has never come back to that level yet. And essentially, if you want to just look at it from a really big distance, from a telescope, it's just gone up from the low of 1932. Even though it has been corrected by lesser forces, the force that was created at the bottom of 32 that has taken us to these literally dizzying highs, because in 1932 the market may have been down at 90 or 80. That's the Dow. So remember, the Dow's gone up to like 15,000. So we were at 90 or so, or whatever it was at the bottom of 32, and I'm sorry, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but you know, it was way, way down there. So the force that came to work and has been at work and is currently at work from the low on 1932, the universe has not sent along a large enough opposing force yet. But the mere fact that in the manifested, in the expressed world of the universe, that that force does exist, the force from 1932 all the way up to now, it means that a counterforce of that size or greater is going to come along. Just the fact that the force existed in the first place already indicates that a force of that size, which we've never seen before, a force of that size is indeed going to come along to oppose the current force. So even though it's buying and selling in the market, and it's the bark beetle and fires in the forest, behind all of it is the same force that makes the bark beetle go chew the trees, have an infestation, and knock a bunch of trees down. That's the same force that's moving the market up and down. It's just expressed as buying and selling over here in the market, and expressed as bugs eating over here. The universe expresses itself in untold numbers of ways. So behind everything that...
Remember, the force will be with you.
Oh, sorry about that, Dave.
Oh, that's okay. It was going to be clever and good, but it just didn't. You just didn't pull it off, right?
Well,
or you're in the process of pulling.
The volume was just all amped out.
Remember, the force will be with you.
The force will be with you. And that's why. Thank you, Duane. And that's why I'm talking about it in these terms, because of Star Wars, because the force should be with you. But just realize this: that even though the force is with you, there's another force that's going to try to correct you at some point, and that's what happens. That's what death is. That's what all these other things, these disease, everything. Wherever you look, a force is at work that's going to be corrected by another force. It's a very simple way, but a very, I believe, correct way to think about every expression. No matter how varied and unusual the expression is, it's going to be corrected by another force expressed in a different way that's going to knock it back. So in the market, because it's limited to man buying and selling, that's what makes the market go up and down. Therefore, it's going to express itself as a wave of buying or a wave of selling in some size. So my point was, though, that the movement up from 1932 to now is a very large force at work, and its expression means that the universe, by merely granting that to happen, by giving that, it already created the opposing force. Now, there's a time period, there's a time factor involved as to when that opposing force is going to come in and when that opposing force is going to play into the market. And strangely enough, the roadmap is a way to, not strangely, but in some ways strangely enough, it's a way of determining when the opposing force is going to come into play. And that's why we'll often say, a good example would be a really sort of extended example is the Euro trade, where the market had been going sideways, and then we're talking about the market, you know, forecasting an 800 pip move. Now, in order to know that, we knew that a force had been created originally by, you know, I'm sorry, but the universe expressed a force in the Euro at some point, and that force got expressed. But at the very moment of the creation of that force, an opposing force is also birthed, so to speak. And that opposing force, there's a time factor about when that opposing force is going to take place. And one of the things the roadmap is doing, in a sense, is determining by a particular method that doesn't contain everything, it's a particular way of viewing it, when a force is going to oppose the current force and what the size of that force is. So, and often we will name that force in terms of price movement, and the market will run often right to that number in reverse, but sometimes the force is yet again bigger than what we originally measured. In other words, something even bigger is at work than what we measured originally. And so to really know for sure that you've got everything contained, you would have to have an awful lot of market data in order to be able to know that the true extent of that move in every single case. But isn't it interesting to think of it that way? Rather than being hypnotized by the character of the manifestation itself, whether, again, it's the bark beetle or it's the fire, or whether it's buying and selling in the stock market, or whether it's the way diseases grow in a petri dish, or the way the disease grows in a body, in somebody who's getting ill. All of it, behind all of it, is simply these forces at work that are constantly pushing and pulling against each other, one force correcting another. And so the market works very much in that way, that one force gets room and gets a period of time to express itself, and then a counter force comes in and sets that force back. We have not yet seen the expression of the already created force that is going to counter the 1932 advance up to today. That whole movement from 1932, from when the Dow was at 90, all the way to the Dow going to 15,000, certainly we're under a corrective wave now and have been. We had a very wide swinging, multi-year swing here. We haven't seen that yet that we're aware of. But that force exists and is going to be played out. The time factor determines when that force would be applied. And if I had, I believe, if I had enough data going back, I could make a very good estimation, a very good estimation in the way that we estimate now, which is plus or minus one unit of time, when that force would be then applied to the current market. It's already there. It's already in existence by the mere fact that the original force was created. It's kind of like, you know, particle, antiparticle. What they found out on a subatomic level is that for every particle, there indeed exists an already existing antiparticle. The mere creation of the particle means there's an antiparticle. And very much in the same way, the very creation of this force means there's already, at the same time, so to speak, birthed another force that is going to counter that force. And many other forces are at work that will counter it along the way. But at some point, the 1932 run, that size, that move, is going to be put into the market. And it might be a good idea to not be in the market at that time on the long side, because obviously that would mean that we would be balancing out, essentially canceling out, the move that occurred from 1932's low up to whatever, you know, the recent high that we made a few years back. So it's interesting, and I like to think in those kinds of simple terms, because sometimes it's easy to get caught up in the character of the manifestation without remembering that there's a very simple basic thing behind it. And when you think in the simple basic terms, sometimes you can get an insight that can be helpful, and I encourage you to think about things in life that way as well. Don't be so hypnotized by the nature of the event. Think about behind the event a little bit, the basic quality behind the event. I've said this before. Let's take Nostradamus as an example. I don't know if he was really forecasting the future or not. You know, he wrote all the quatrains and things, but let's just say that he was. He was actually doing something which is highly, highly sophisticated, in that if he was doing what some people said he was doing, which is he was able to forecast not only the force itself, the thing, something was going to happen, but the very character and nature of the expression. Now, that's a whole other book there, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's one thing to be able to say that the market's going to top on such a date and go down a certain amount of points. That, because we know that the market works in points. We know that there's buying and selling. It's limited to that. But in life, to be able to say on such and such a date, you know, this particular person's going to come to power and he's going to do this and this thing, that's enormously different, completely different. I've said this before. What's the fellow's name in this century? Joseph, I can't think of the fellow's name right now. I want to say Joseph Smith, but that's the Mormon guy. But
You're talking about Edgar Cayce?
Edgar Cayce, thank you. As far as I know, and I've read quite a bit, but I don't know everything, obviously, but as far as I know, in this century, he's the only legitimate person that was actually and factually, and they recorded literally, I think, thousands of his forecasts. He went into kind of a trance-like state. I know this sounds so typical. He went into a trance, and he could talk to people in that trance, but there's a whole library of all of his forecasts. You can investigate it for yourself. And he was able to forecast the very thing we're talking about, not only the time that something was going to occur, but the nature of the event itself. Now, that's really, really remarkable. And he wasn't using a technical, like what we're doing and what you're doing. Everyone here is working with technical analysis of the market. It wasn't technical. He wasn't doing something technical. He wasn't mathematically figuring it out. He was getting that information in a completely different way, much more direct way. You know, we're doing it through calculating and doing certain types of, if you want to call it math, spatial relationships, which certainly exists, mathematical relationships, etc. And he had jumped over all that and was getting to the very nature of the event itself. So if you get some time, you might want to read about that. It's very rare, obviously, that somebody can have that quality. He didn't say that he was in connection with God or with a higher power. He simply said that he was able to go to a specific inner location, so to speak. And certainly you can understand that there is such a thing as an inner location, because on any one day you might be in a very good mood or a bad mood. That's a location. That's a psychological location. You're in a different place when you're afraid as you are when you're very happy. Well, he went to a inner location. This is by his own words. I'm sort of paraphrasing. He went to a special inner location, a kind of inner location, where from that viewpoint he could see, somehow access directly, the event itself, the character, the nature of the event, the manifestation, not just reading the force behind it, but seeing the actual character of the event. Very, very, very unusual. And as far as I know, I don't think there's anybody else in the last 100 years that was able to do that, and do it repeatedly, on and on and on. In fact, in many accounts of his life, it's what eventually killed him. I think he had a stroke, perhaps, or something happened to him later in life, And this thing of going to these locations and doing this for people, he would give people medical readings and be able to say what was wrong with them. And he did stock market readings and told where the markets were going to be. It's really, it's a remarkable thing. I don't know, you know.
He called it taking a nap, as I recall.
Yeah. Yeah, he would call it taking a nap or going into, and he said everybody had the ability, but for some reason his particular consciousness, you know, his particular viewpoint out from his inner location, he was able to find that very easily in his life, where most of us would have a lot of trouble trying to find a location, you know, where we could do anything other than just feel our normal feelings. So it's pretty remarkable when somebody can go beyond just the understanding of the forces at work, and in the markets as we do, you know, since it's limited in its expression, it's buying and selling. It doesn't allow for anything else. The game is limited, but that's so we can say the market's going to go up or down, and that's a certain kind of forecasting. But he was able to forecast the nature of events of all different types. So, you know, go ponder that. Go figure, you know, how does that work? It just shows you that there's possibilities that go far beyond what we think. If it hadn't been for him, I would wonder, I would very seriously question about whether or not that was accessible. It's very easy to believe in things and faraway gods and places and times, but when you see somebody actually do it, and they do it over and over and over again to the point where there's a whole library of his forecasts, it stands out as probably one of the most remarkable things in the last 1,000 years. I don't know all of history, but you know, I don't know anybody else that did what he did. So he was really remarkable. And I encourage you to take some time and read some of Edgar Cayce's stuff. He was not a big braggart about this stuff. He didn't run around telling people that he wasn't charging people lots of money, wasn't getting rich off of it. He was an ordinary guy with a truly extraordinary skill, human being, ordinary human being, that had some way of connecting directly, apparently, to the nature of events before they happened. So it's really interesting. So having said all that, let's take one last look at the S&P here. So it is today. We're very quiet. We did make a new high today on the on-time day for a reflected wave top.
Now, we had this, before you run on, we had this conversation please. Way back, it looks like on May 26th. I just Googled Edgar Cayce, CFRN.
Okay.
The power of thought. I felt the hackles go up around the globe today when David brought up Edgar Cayce. See, this, guys, we tell you that we've been on the air for 6 years doing this. We really have. There's not much we haven't talked about. And if you click on that link, then it will transport you to that actual day's blog, mm-hmm. where apparently that is not Edgar Cayce there, but it's going to be somewhere on this page once it finishes loading.
Yeah.
I had a picture of him. There he is.
Yeah, he's this ordinary, very plain, ordinary-looking fellow. There
this
he is.
Fellow right here.
So there he is with his wife, I think, and go read about him. It's really interesting, and there's no mysticism to it at all. This is not somebody who's doing anything, making any special claims of any kind. You know, this, by the way, and I just want to mention this when you do read about him, anytime somebody can do something highly unusual, it gets the ire of some religious people because they view that as possibly evil, possibly the devil, possibly mm-hmm. this, possibly that. I'd encourage you to read it with an open mind and just take it for what it is. Here's a man that had this very unique capability. He wasn't doing anything special, wasn't raising himself to high status and commanding people in armies and all that stuff. He was just an ordinary dude, just a regular guy that had this very, very unique capability to locate inwardly, somehow, get in contact with events that had not yet happened, the character and nature of those events, and in a I don't even want to say supernatural way. I just want to say in some way he was able to do that.
He taught Sunday school most of his life. He was also an elder in his church.
Yeah.
So his biographies, he talks about his Christian faith.
Yeah, so real interesting. Anyway, so here we are back at the S&P, and we sure take a circuitous path to get here, don't we?
We do.
So yeah, we haven't broken the uptrend, and because today is trading, you might want to, you know, take it easy. Maybe there's a few nice trades today, and there certainly probably are, but it's a very quiet market, and you're going to be waiting for a little while for, you know, the moves, whether you're trading short or long, to occur. So the remainder of the week is going to be very important. We're at a very critical juncture here. One thing I did want to say about this other, this larger move that we're potentially talking about, it's not a roadmap yet. We will put it out as one if a few other factors are complete. But if any time between now and October 13th, remember the 14th is the actual date, but if especially on the 13th, if we were to touch 1200, then it's likely that I would negate the outlook. So you can see that we're at a critical point on the upside in our work, and in a way I would prefer to not see 1200 get touched, so that I could very comfortably say to you, you know, this is something that we want to trade. We want to trade down to this particular forecastable level. So keep that in mind, and we'll talk about this a little bit more as the day, you know, as the days go on. Right now, we're very much in an uptrend, and we'll update this as we go along. So you can see that there's factors in our work, just like there is in any technical analysis, where there's a number of things that come along, and each one of these is sort of its own setup, and you have to kind of solve it concerning all the things that are around it. You know, it's each one of these is different. It plays out differently. Those forces that are behind the market count, you know, they play on endlessly, the three universal forces. So we'll go on to that. Let me go over to gold real quick as well, because Dwayne, we talked about gold in a couple days ago, and I want to tell you a little bit about this. Remember, we had October 4th as an important bottom in the S&P. We had the same date for gold as well, and gold actually bottomed just a tick or two lower on October 5th and then started this move up. The move that we were expecting, the initial move would be from that low, which was 1596, up to 1666. And therefore, 1666 to 1668 would be important to us on the upside. And they were unable to close above it until Monday, where they closed at 1677. Mm-hmm. Today, we have a reversal, and the market has not yet really broken out of its range that it's been in here. If I have my way, there's a couple things here. If anybody is long in gold or considering it because of the timing that we talked about last week, that last week was the 1 week late, etc., I would prefer to see daily closes from this point forward above 1653. Today's low has been 1655, and we're at 59 right now. So I'd like to see that, and I will give you out another indication for a place to be long if they do close today above the 1653 level. If they don't, I'm less excited about the long side. This market also, just so you know this, has an important date on October 14th. So I've already looked around and I've seen a number of markets with the October 14th, and that's why that date is going to be very important to trade into and out of on the S&P. Worst case, just out of, you know, from that date forward. So we'll see how that plays out. But both gold and the S&P have this important piece that we're going to look at coming into the 14th. So I think just right now between gold and the S&P, that's pretty much our outlook. The one thing you can rest your hat on right now is that we're still in an uptrend. We've not broken that trend yet. And we are now starting to get closer to a critical juncture on the upside, as we're in the on-time day today for the reflected wave. So we'll wait until tomorrow, and possibly, you know, today's, we may be able to get something up on the upside here to higher prices, the 96, one of the levels we talked about earlier, and then 1203, which is important as well. If we do get to 96, I might be interested at that point. If the market confirms in other ways in a short position, I would certainly also be interested in that if we spiked and tested the 1203 level. So 96 and 1203 are important to me for possible. Even if they intend on going higher later, they will give us a reversal that's tradable off of those levels. 96 would be the first one that I would be potentially interested in. I'd like to see, you know, a little confirmation there, but I might take a trade on that when we get there. So, Duane, anything on your end with regard to the S&P?
Well, there's a question here from Charles. Today's reflected wave daily top, he's asking this question. So today's reflected wave daily top may initiate a short-term retracement before the monthly bottom continues to push up into the end of the year.
That's correct. Now, we're in October, so let me clarify this. Right now, October is the 1 month late, and we made a slightly lower low in October, and we could say there's some likelihood that the low is in for the month. I believe that that very well may be the case. If that is the case, then, you know, let's just say the monthly low is in, and we would be having a multi-month advance off of that bottom. But since we still have quite a bit of the month left, and because we do have the possibility, this isn't a forecast yet, but the thing about the 1135, possibly even 1085 on the downside, remember we talked about 1085 becoming active on the 10th as a natural number, and there's periods of time where these levels become activated, and so for the next several days, that level is active in the market. So because of that, we want to be cautious with the idea that, I mean, it is possible that we could even make a new low. We're not forecasting that. But if the bottom is in from that, then we're looking for a multi-month advance off of this bottom. And that's very tradable. You could, you know, it could be options, positions, et cetera. Did I answer his question in saying what I just said, or did I miss? Did he ask me something that I missed? I'm sorry?
I think you did.
Okay. Sometimes when people ask me a question, I don't even listen to the question. I just keep talking, and I just hope that somewhere in there I answered it, but I'm not so sure that I got his question.
Charles, if that didn't answer it for you properly,
yeah, just give me the...
Let me know.
Shoot that back to me one more time.
And then, and you know, Charles did say this. It looks like a reflected wave weekly top may be looming in the coming weeks. Any thoughts
on
that?
This is an important thing as well. He's making a point. This is really actually very interesting that we would trade this if the market... You know, I would prefer to get a pullback. I would prefer to see the 14th come in. It would be really interesting if we did have this, if they failed here as a pullback, because then we could buy that as a very important buying level for the possibility of an advance into the next cycle top, which would be a weekly top. And so, yeah, that would be a really fabulous potential trade where there could be very, very large swing. And I can assure you out of the 14th, there will be. So, and really into and out of. But I want to let another day go by, and we'll kind of try to tie it together. At the time, if we're correct, I mean, what Charles is alluding to, I'm extending it a little bit by saying, I think, by saying that, you know, if we were to pull back into the 14th as one of the dates that would be important, that would be buying territory, you know, de jure. You would want to get in there and own this market for many, many days, and possibly even a couple of weeks. I mean, it really could be that powerful. And then that would send us up into a weekly cycle high. So we're kind of inching in on it here. Now, remember, the 14th is Friday. We have several days left before then. So I would rather right now just trade small tops and bottoms inside this uptrend and lean on the bullish side until I'm notified by the market that isn't the case anymore, and then start putting positions together for the idea of going down substantially lower, especially if all this occurs, and it should, prior to the 14th. So we'll see. Remember, if we do go up and if we touch 1,200 between today, tomorrow, and possibly Thursday, I'm going to most likely, I mean almost without a doubt, I'm going to negate the need for the market to, you know, we're going to retract the idea that we need to go down and do some of the 1135. And all that. So that's why it's kind of critical here, because we ain't that far from 1200 as it sits right now. So we'll see. Remember, I've told you before that there's numbers that are basically equal. They're both the same. So we want to, even though they're different numbers, I know that sounds so weird, but that's why I don't want to see the 1200 hit. Because if it is, it essentially satisfies the force that wants 1135 to occur. And by touching it, then it negates the need for 1135 to be touched. And so almost without a doubt, they're going to do that, because it would be so much of a better of trade for us to be able to short it here and go all the way down to 35. And sometimes we get those. You know, again, we've had a number of them on the S&P recently, the October 4th bottom for the 65-point advance and on. But, you know, sometimes when you see it as clearly as we see it, they just don't give it to you. And so I'm all okay for trading up. I would like to buy. I still want to be a buyer here on little pullback bottoms, because that could be the bottom that sends the prices up anyway to do 1,200 and then 1,203. So I'll take that. I prefer the bigger trade. But like I've said so many times on your program, Duane, the smaller moves are less tricky. The bigger moves are more tricky. And, you know, you have to work harder to be in them and stay in them. So,
Michael asks, if it hits 1,200, what does that mean for the 14th?
It doesn't change the fact of the 14th. That's one of the interesting things about time, is that it isn't altered. But it does mean that the 14th is still going to be a very important cycle date for a very powerful reversal. But I would let me say this. Let me answer that. If that does occur, let me cross that bridge. We're not that very far from 1,200 even right now. So if we cross that bridge, we'll go over that at the time. But the 14th is big. It's big in a number of markets, and therefore I very much believe in that date. And I think you can make a substantial amount of money. There should be some important news. I don't know what the news is, and I'm not Edgar Cayce, and I can't tell you the character of it, but I can tell you that there's an important force that comes into play. Remember, we talked about this the other day, that these various time frames connect up to, you know, it's like there's a wormhole to this one time frame, like the monthly, you know, go back on your chart. This is a really clear example of this at work, where we had forecast a couple weeks back, that the market was going to have a 100-point decline from September 29th. We originally had called that as a bottom, and it was an inversion, and it meant that the market would decline 100 points from the top at 1170.75 on the 29th. And that 100-point decline is because for that time period, the market is connected to a power source that is related to the monthly. It's monthly or larger. And that power source is big enough to move the market 100 points, and that's knowable in advance. And then on October 4th, that power source gets disconnected. The connection between the market and that power source is interrupted by October 4th. Time ends that connection. And then on October 4th, we said the market's going to go up 60, a minimum of 65 points or whatever it was. It went up a whole lot further, but it was going to do at least that on the upside, that the new force that would come in would take it up, and that was connected to that. But you see, it was connected to a much larger force, because it could be the monthly, right? The monthly bottom in October, 1 month late, could be what's, and most certainly is, what drove this up. You can't deny it. This is larger than daily. This is a force that we're connected to, larger than daily. So it's just really interesting how time and these forces work together. And that's why I was joking before that there's a saying that if there's no time, everything would happen at once. But the fact that there is time means that the movement of time connects and disconnects the market to these various power sources. And that's one of the themes behind the roadmap, is that you can say, this is going to get connected. That's how we did the 800-point decline in the euro, is that, you know, 5 weeks before, we were able to say, hey, on August 22nd through 29th, you better watch out, because this thing's going to get connected to a power source big enough to move this market 800 pips. And so it's knowable in advance that connection is going to be made, and that connection is going to remain for a certain period of time. And then the market does its move, and it may do much larger than that, but it did about that move. It did 800, maybe it did 1,000 on the way down. And then that power source gets disconnected, and a new force gets to play in the market. That's kind of how the market works. There's many ways to verbalize what the market's doing. This is just one. Whatever the real major truth is, the final truth, I don't know. But the localized truth, I can demonstrate. And we do that with this particular technique. And with reflected wave as well, because there's a very profound truth behind reflected wave that even people who have learned it may not have thought all the way through. but there's a very profound truth about the nature of movement of the market. And if those of you who want to, who have taken the course, want to talk to me and call me sometime, I'd be very happy to explain it to you again for those of you who have taken the course. So we can do that anytime. I do want to remind you that we do have a webinar, I believe, today for Reflected Wave. So if you want to come to that, it's at 1:30. It's basically Pacific time, 15 minutes after the market closes, whatever time frame you're in, Eastern, Chicago, or our time frame, at 1:30. And we'll spend about an hour. We'll have Bert Schlichter from Daniels Trading there as well. And I know a lot of the people already know who we are and stuff, but if you want to come and if you have an interest thinking about it, we do have a few seats left for the November 12th and 13th seminar. And I've gotten better at teaching this, and I've gotten better at teaching it from just the mere fact of having students and going over this with them and helping them understand the whys and hows of this and what I'm looking for, and really just to be able to put it to its best use for them. So if you want, come by today, and we'll talk to you about it. You can ask some questions there as well. So, Duane, I think for today that's everything we've got in front of us.
Okay.
We've got a really quiet market in front of us.
You know, it really is.
We could take a holiday. We could all just go home now.
I mean, this this is it right here. This little back and forth action right off of this 87,
yeah.
88 level that we have, which, you know, was key overnight and was key yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just can't seem to break free of the gravitational pull. We're moving up here to the top of this little channel, so I know you mentioned 96 and you mentioned 1203.
Well, those are levels important if they're reached, yeah. And they're also essentially their targets as well. And that's why I'm interested in buying bottoms today still on the, I mean, internal small pullbacks. I'm interested in buying those because I like the idea that the next run up could be the one that diffuses the larger need for the decline to 1135. Because whenever I get too excited about something, the market takes it away from me. And the way they diffuse it is by going to the 1200 level. Well, I might as well trade that. You know, I might as well trade their diffusing of it. And so that's what I'm doing today.
Okay. Very good.
It's the diffuser trade.
The diffuser trade. Now that's nice. That's got a ring to it.
That's got a little ring to it.
I like it.
Anyway, Dwayne, thank you very much for having me on. I hope we had an interesting discussion today, and I will be back tomorrow with hopefully clearer and better information about what we're going to do with the 14th.
Sounds good, Dave.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. See you guys tomorrow.
All right. Thanks
for the questions as well. I appreciate them.
Okay, guys, that's going to wrap it up for this slow post-Columbus Day action. Watch this channel. We're just kind of rolling right here, sitting right on top of this weekly trading zone. I mean, from here, we came down with some force, boom, but it stopped. Right back up. So we will eventually break away from this 87.88. We got a level below, and we got a level above. If you'd like to find out what that level is, come join us. Take advantage of the free trial. Go to cfrn.net/apply, or just go to the website, cfrn.net, and you'll, I guarantee, be able to find your way to the free trial button. Take advantage of it. Come in, hang out with us for 5 days. Watch us trade the market live in real time. Get an idea what we do, how we do it, and then determine if you want to become a CFRN partner. There will be a partners meeting Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, as there is every Thursday. Partners only. If you're currently in the midst of a free trial and you're ready to become a partner, then send an email to support@cfrn.net, and we will get the necessary paperwork over to you so that you can get signed up so that you can be in the partners meeting on Thursday night. If you've taken a free trial in the past and for some reason you didn't actually show up, or take advantage of it, then send me an email, secondchance@cfrn.net, and we'll see what we can do about getting you in for a second chance. All right? Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.